Have you ever wondered what actually happens to a piece of information when it falls into a black hole?
Oh, yeah, the classic point of no return.
Right, like say a subatomic particle or I don't know, a physical book or just a specific quantum state. Once it crosses that line, what happens?
Well, classically speaking, general relativity gives us a pretty grim answer.
Very grim.
It basically insists that once information is pulled down and hits that infinitely dense singularity at the center, it's gone,
Yeah,
destroyed.
just completely wiped out of existence. But today, we're actually challenging that assumption. We're looking at this radical mathematical blueprint that says, maybe that's not the whole story.
Yeah, and it's a huge deal because the destruction of information creates this massive contradiction. Physicists call it the black hole information paradox.
Right, because quantum mechanics hates it when things are just deleted.
Exactly. It violates unitarity. That's the foundational quantum rule that the universe must always, always keep track of its past.
You can't just hit the cosmic delete key.
You really can't. So the framework we're exploring today proposes a completely different mechanism. It argues that the singularity isn't, a dead end where reality just crashes.
Right.
It's actually a complex phase boundary.
Okay, let's unpack this because the framework comes from this fascinating set of theoretical notes titled Loss of Information Gives the BH Core Topology.
It's a dense read, but so rewarding.
Seriously. And the mission of our deep dive today is to see how this model transforms the black hole from, well, from a cosmic trash compactor into this highly sophisticated data converter.
I love that analogy.
But to get there, I mean, we really have to start with the classical problem. So in standard general relativity, space-time is mapped by this matrix, right? Called a metric.
Right, the metric is your fundamental map.
And the critical property of that metric is its determinant, which effectively measures the volume of that space.
Yeah, and here's where things go wrong. When an object approaches the singularity, the determinant of that space-time metric drops to exactly zero.
Zero volume.
Right. In mathematical terms, the map loses invertibility. You can no longer reverse the equations to trace the physical history of the system.
So you can't figure out what fell in.
Exactly. Classically, a determinant hitting zero is treated as a fatal error. It's the point where the laws of physics just stop functioning.
It's basically treated as a bug that
Yeah.
crashes the operating system of the universe.
A total blue screen of death.
Right. But the ODECCT framework from our source material treats this determinant of zero as a feature, not a bug.
Which is such a wild shift in perspective.
It really is. It argues that this is just a regular point within a much larger expanded mathematical structure,
Yeah.
like a continuous phase transition.
Yeah.
So let's ground this with an analogy just to understand this algebraic collapse or what the paper calls matrix rank loss. Because this is really about how degrees of freedom are forced to redistribute.
The concept of rank loss is so crucial here, and it's driven entirely by the physical reality of extreme gravity.
Right. So imagine a massive, high-dimensional spreadsheet.
Okay, a spreadsheet.
Yeah. And this spreadsheet is tracking all the quantum states of an object falling inward. Every single column represents a distinct spatial dimension or, a degree of freedom.
Got it.
So as the object gets closer to the singularity, the tidal forces become so extreme that the data itself starts to skew.
Because the gravitational pressure is literally stretching space so violently along one axis.
Exactly. Stretching it on one axis and crushing it along another. So those distinct spatial directions just, they start to merge.
The columns in your spreadsheet are basically forced to perfectly align with each other.
Yes. And in linear algebra, when two columns become perfectly correlated, you suffer a rank loss. The system just abandons a dimension, it flattens out.
It's like taking a fully rendered 3D hologram and skewing it until it just crushes down into a 2D plane.
Right. It looks like you've lost something.
But the physical interpretation of that mathematical rank loss is profound. Because, yes, the sheer tidal forces squish the coordinate system so severely that it loses the ability to describe multiple directions independently.
But, and this is the big.
But the key insight of this quantum singularity algebra is that a space-time collapse shouldn't be viewed as a vanishing act.
Right. The data isn't gone.
Exactly. When your spreadsheet loses a column, or if that 3D hologram is flattened to 2D, the underlying data doesn't just cease to exist.
The mass, the quantum information, they haven't vanished at all. They've simply been compressed, like shifted into a hidden latent
A
space.
latent algebra, yeah.
The universe effectively takes that 3D geometric data and saves it into a zipped file format.
I like that, a zipped file.
So the singularity gets redefined as this point of local loss of invertibility, where information leaks into a secondary algebraic structure.
Which naturally forces us to ask, where does that secondary structure actually exist?
Or where's the zipped file being saved?
Exactly. So the framework introduces this topological tool called the sheaf of spacetime with a singularity boundary.
Okay, sheaf of spacetime. That sounds intense.
It sounds complex, but in topology, a sheaf just organizes locally defined data attached to the open sets of a space. So we have a base space, which is basically the manifold of the black hole itself.
The map.
Right, the map. And attached to every single coordinate point in that space is something called a stock.
Okay, so if the base space is the map, the stock is like the hyper-detailed set of instructions located at one specific GPS coordinate on that map.
That's a perfect way to put it. In regular everyday space-time, that stock contains only the standard classical metric.
Just normal gravity geometry.
Right. But at the singularity boundary, the stock fundamentally changes. It becomes a pair.
Oh, pair.
Yeah. It couples the classical metric with a brand new mathematical object called the leakage operator.
The leakage operator. Okay, so this operator acts like the cosmic flash drive holding all those zipped files.
Precisely. And the interaction between these two objects, the metric and the leakage operator, it's governed by a very strict conservation law.
Right, because we have to preserve the information through that boundary.
Exactly. The rule is that the total conserved information must equal the rank of the space-time metric plus the dimension of the image of the leakage operator.
Let me make sure I've got this. So as the falling object nears the center and the classical metric breaks down, like it loses rank from four dimensions down to three, then two.
The total information remains totally constant.
Because the leakage operator precisely gains the exact rank that the metric loses.
You've got it. The metric's loss is the leakage operator's gain.
That's so elegant.
It is. The missing rank of the space-time geometry perfectly matches the dimension of the image of the leakage operator. The degrees of freedom just hand off seamlessly.
Okay, but wait. I have to push back on this handoff a bit.
Sure.
Mathematically, physically, how do you actually glue a broken singular space where the volume is literal zero to a perfectly functioning algebraic operator? I mean, without breaking the foundational rules of calculus.
That's the big question.
You can't just take some tape, slap a functioning equation to a broken metric, and claim the universe accepts it.
No, you can't. And what's fascinating here is that the framework completely anticipates that friction.
Okay.
It doesn't attempt standard gluing because, as you noted, the interior and exterior metrics are totally singular at the boundary.
Right, they're broken.
So instead, the sheaf structure handles the connection via a non-invertible transition across a bifurcation locus.
Okay, non-invertible transition. That sounds like a fancy way of describing a mathematical one-way mirror.
It kind of is.
But if the operation is non-invertible, meaning I cannot calculate my way back out to see what originally fell in, haven't we just lost the information anyway? Like we've just locked it in a different, purely algebraic box.
That's a really good point, but losing the ability to invert an equation locally is not the same as destroying the unitary data globally.
Okay, explain that.
The information doesn't disappear. It factors cleanly through the leakage operator. The classical singularity is completely replaced by this bifurcation locus.
The space-time doesn't rip.
It doesn't rip at all. Instead, the universe's vocabulary just smoothly shifts. It goes from the continuous language of differential geometry into the discrete language of pure algebra.
Wow.
The data is totally preserved, just in a representation that our standard metric equations can no longer read.
That is wild. Okay, so if that data is shifting into an algebraic representation, let's try to trace that dynamic transition second by second as we fall toward Dirlinger's, the absolute center.
The journey inward.
Right. So inside the horizon, the radial coordinate actually becomes time-like, pushing us inevitably toward the center. And the sources focus on this thing called the Kretschmann scalar blowing up as we approach this point.
Yeah, the Kretschmann scalar, it basically measures the absolute invariant curvature of space-time.
Just how bent everything is.
Exactly. And as you move toward $4, this scalar accelerates toward infinity.
Just off the charts curvature.
Right. And this extreme curvature is actually the physical driver of the ODECCT system.
The ODECCT system.
Yeah, it's an ordinary differential equation that models the continuous transition of our data.
Right. So the notes detail how this extreme curvature forces the eigenvalues of the metric to shrink.
Yes.
And if we think of the eigenvalues as the I don't know, the structural pillars holding up the dimensions of the space-time matrix.
I like that. Pillars of space-time.
This equation dictates that these pillars collapse smoothly as a power law.
And the critical mechanism occurs when one of those smallest eigenvalues reaches exactly zero.
Right.
At that precise moment, a mathematical step function is triggered.
But it's not just, like, an abstract switch flipping in the dark.
No, it has physical meaning.
The moment an eigenvalue hits zero, meaning a spatial dimension has fully collapsed under all those tidal forces we talked about, this step function instantly transfers that specific degree of freedom directly into the leakage operator.
It acts as a perfect regularization of the space-time.
So there's no glitch.
Exactly. By the time you would theoretically reach the absolute center, the geometry has already neatly packed itself away.
In the zipped file.
Yes. The pair, that degenerate metric, and the now fully loaded leakage operator, they remain perfectly defined for all points.
That's incredible.
The dreaded infinite physical density is avoided entirely. The mathematical limit simply yields a full rank leakage operator instead of a broken metric.
Which means the singularity is never actually reached as a physical crashing point.
Never.
The metric fades out, the leakage operator steps up, and the math never actually breaks.
It's an incredibly elegant topological solution.
It really is. But I see a huge issue here.
Uh-oh. Lay it on me.
If this mathematical handoff only occurs at $20, deep inside a region we can never, ever observe, don't we run into a massive problem?
Mm.
Like, how does this leaked data interact with the rest of the universe?
The testability problem.
Yeah, the theory is purely internal. It's basically untestable philosophy, right?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the requirement of unitarity demands that the leaked data cannot remain isolated forever.
It has to come back.
It has to. The leakage operator must couple to the quantum fields present at the event horizon.
Oh, okay.
So over trillions of years, as the black hole emits late-time Hawking radiation and slowly evaporates, the information stored in that latent algebraic space interacts with these fields.
So the zipped files are slowly being unzipped.
Yes.
And broadcast back into the universe,
yeah,
encoded in the subtle quantum correlations of the radiation.
Exactly. The source material specifies that the lost determinant, that mathematical volume that collapsed near the singularity, it actually becomes a measurable topological invariant.
Measurable how?
Well, this invariant manifests as a quantum defect in the radiation's entropy curve, specifically the Page curve.
The Page curve.
But yeah. So if we had sensitive enough instruments, which to be fair, we don't yet.
We definitely don't.
But if we did, we could theoretically measure the exact signature of this leaked information in the final stages of a black hole's evaporation.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
The universe fundamentally preserves the data. Like, when faced with the infinite destruction of a collapsing metric, reality just creates an algebraic backdoor to ensure unitarity is maintained.
And that backdoor is formalized using something called C-algebras.
C-star algebra.
Right. In standard quantum mechanics, time evolution is typically described by unitary, fully reversible operators.
Two-way streets.
Exactly. But C-algebras allow us to rigorously define non-invertible isometries.
Okay, let's clarify how an isometry bridges this gap. Because an isometry preserves the distance or, you know, the inner product of the data. But it doesn't have to be a two-way street, right?
Correct. It preserves the total information structure as it passes through the singularity, but it is not necessarily surjective.
Meaning it doesn't map perfectly back onto the original space.
Exactly. The information passes through this one-way algebraic door and flows into what the mathematics define as the co-kernel.
The co-kernel. Yeah. That sounds like the ultimate latent space.
It is. And the notes suggest this isn't just some abstract mathematical dumping ground either.
No.
No. The data pushed into the co-kernel could actually form an entirely new physical sector.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The math strongly implies that the co-kernel houses the necessary degrees of freedom to generate a distinct topology.
So it builds something new.
Right. The information leaked from our space-time could manifest as an interior completely disconnected from our universe. Or, taken to its logical conclusion...
Go on.
It could serve as the foundational metric for a baby universe.
A baby universe? That is mind-blowing.
Huh.
So the data that gets crushed out of our coordinate system doesn't just sit in a void.
No, it provides the mathematical scaffolding to basically inflate a completely new universe.
The black hole is just a transitionary node. like a bridge built out of pure algebra.
It demands that we stop viewing geometry as the absolute foundational layer of reality.
Right, because geometry breaks.
It breaks. When geometry fails under infinite gravity, the deeper, more robust layer of algebra is there to catch the universe.
It preserves the degrees of freedom until they can unfold into a new space. Man. Which really brings our deep dive full circle. We set out to understand this radical new blueprint, and I think the framework clearly demonstrates that the singularity really is a sophisticated data converter.
Absolutely. It seamlessly transitions information from a failing geometric map into a stable algebraic sheaf.
The conservation law holds firm. The metric's loss is the leakage operator's gain.
Ensuring that the quantum history of everything that falls in is meticulously maintained.
It's beautiful. And, you know, this leaves us with a pretty profound thought experiment to consider.
I love thought experiments. What are you thinking?
Well, if a black hole singularity is simply a phase transition where extreme tidal forces skew the spatial dimensions until they suffer rank loss, leaking data into a latent algebra that spawns a baby universe.
Yeah.
What does that imply about our own origin?
Oh, wow.
Right. Could the Big Bang, the ultimate cosmic singularity in our past, just be this exact mathematical process running in reverse?
It suggests our universe is a white hole.
A white hole.
The rapid unfolding of a previously collapsed metric.
Are all of our physical laws, our stars, our galaxies, simply the leaked information unzipping itself from a massive spreadsheet that collapsed in some parent universe?
That is a staggering thought.
It changes everything. So the next time you think about the absolute limits of nature, remember that what looks like a terminal dead end might just be a non-invertible transition.
A secret algebraic door.
Exactly. A door where the data of an old universe becomes the geometries of a new one.
The information is always there,
yeah.
You know, just waiting to be read in a new vocabulary.
Thanks for diving deep with us. Keep questioning the boundaries.